Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from a book that I've just put together about the millennium. This content is also available at Pasture Lands, my YouTube channel, and as a book at Amazon.com. It's called No Millennium? Really? And you can download the PDF of this book right here at Sermon Audio on part one of this series. We're going through Isaiah now. We're actually going through the whole Bible, and we've come to the book of Isaiah to find out things about the coming kingdom, to see if indeed the Lord does have in mind something for us in our future. Oh, yes, he does. In Isaiah chapter 35, that chapter seems to mingle promises that were somewhat fulfilled when Messiah was here earlier with some ones that shall come to pass later. Let's read, starting with verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Well, of course he did that when he was here. He'll do it when he comes back. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Now we've gotten into some geographical type things that haven't really happened yet, but will. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now, does that sound like today? Not to me. Does it sound like first century when Jesus was here? Not all of that, no. Truly, if it can be said that Jesus had a healing touch on all he met when he was here, the effect of his healing power will be multiplied infinitely when he comes again and sets up his rule. And yes, we can spiritualize the highway of holiness without taking its literal fulfillment away. And who wants anything but the literal interpretation of that last section that sees God's people coming to Zion, a literal place, everywhere it's mentioned in Scripture, to my knowledge. It's literal. Why do we have to spiritualize it? And speaking of spiritualizing, Isaiah 40 falls prey to much of it, but for no good reason. A literal kingdom is coming with a literal king in a literal location. Why can't some of the following be literally true? Isaiah 40, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Well, we know who that was. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. All flesh. Did all flesh see it when Jesus was here? So John the Baptist, yes, a leveling of authority under Messiah. All flesh shall see it. But later in the chapter, verses 10 and 11, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. Did he come with a strong hand? No. And his arm shall rule for him. Did he rule at that time? No. Behold, his reward is with him. Was his reward with him? No. And his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Did he do some of that? Yes. Will he do much more? Oh, yes. These are the promises of a second coming to this earth. The very term second coming demands an earth-centered mission when he comes. And it's not to destroy. It's to heal, to govern, to rule. Chapter 42 is another classic psalm. This one combines first and second comings. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He'll bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Now, up to those first three lines, yeah, it happened. But has he brought forth justice to all the Gentiles at this time? No. He will not cry out nor raise his voice, first coming, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street, first coming. Bruised reed he will not break, smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. There's been a huge break in the program. Oh, he started this process out while he was here, and then he went, after his death, to heaven. We want more citizens for this kingdom, and that's why he sent us out into all the world to tell others about the possibilities of them being saved. First coming, he didn't cry out. He didn't raise his voice gently. He dealt with the needy. He brought justice in one sense on the cross, but in second coming, that justice will be established in the earth. Nor will it be by the preaching of the gospel. The gospel will be preached, but that doesn't establish justice on the earth. His righteousness will not be firmly entrenched here until he is enthroned as Lord of the earth. Now, skip over to chapter 62. We're passing over a lot of choice verses in Isaiah that could well refer to an earthly reign. But notice in chapter 62 the specifics of this chapter. For Zion's sake, there's Zion again, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness. Now think about it. If he comes immediately and destroys Jerusalem immediately when he comes, and the whole world is all renewed, that's not really helping Jerusalem do what it was supposed to do. And her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name with the mouth, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate. But you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. As a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest until he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now that's a process that's going to happen. It's not creating immediately a new heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem. No. This is the millennial 1,000 years that little by little by little Jerusalem becomes a praise in the earth. Then the enemy is released, and we see the attack again. And then the Lord Jesus hands, it says in 1 Corinthians, that whole thing over to the Father. We start all over again. We got to have a little pity, only a little, for those who must find a way to take away the literal and make everything figurative. Zion, Jerusalem, Gentiles, a new name. Read chapter 62 again, believing every word is true. A praise in the earth. Why change the meaning here? Why not just enjoy what God has said? The Jews were not wrong to expect what God had promised. They were wrong not to realize that the fulfillment of the promise was within their grasp, in their very face. Nor are we wrong to believe this way. And then there's Isaiah 65. Surely cannot be talking about a heavenly forever kingdom, yet it's not about our time either. Note the transitional kingdom in Isaiah 65. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. The child shall die 100 years old. I mean, he'll grow up, he'll be a man for 100 years, which would be a long age in those days. Think about it. In the new heavens and the new earth, there is no death. But in the millennium, there is. Do you see the difference? The sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Sinners in the new kingdom, yes. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. In other words, they're going to be living long lives. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people be, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. And they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. That's not a new heaven. That's not a new earth. It is a new Jerusalem in one sense, because the people of God have come down from heaven and populated the earth, that part of the earth. But it's a renewed. We will see the whole brand new thing later. And later we'll talk about the end of death. It doesn't end during the 1,000-year reign. At the end of it, it does. Life is certainly extended greatly. And then look at the houses and the vineyards and the trees and the wolves and the lambs and the lions and the oxen, all earthly things with heavenly characteristics in Emmanuel's land. Don't spiritualize them away. Isaiah closes with one more look at the kingdom that should set us thinking for some time. It's in chapter 66, 18 to 24. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Think about it. It's the end of this present age. Jesus is coming back, and everybody's going to see him. I will set a sign among them. And those among them who escape, there it is again, there's going to be people who will escape the horrors of the tribulation and the destruction of Jerusalem and all of those things. I will send them to Tarshish and Pul and Lud, those who draw the bow, and Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory. Let me tell you, in the new heavens and the new earth, these names will not even be there. Total different geography in the new heavens and the new earth. They shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. People at the beginning of the millennium are going to start going out to some of those folks somewhere who didn't quite get the word. And then they shall bring all your brothers for an offering to the Lord out of all the nations, on horses, chariots, litters, mules, camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I'll also take some of them for priests and Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die, their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. There it is. Very, very this worldly, right? It's not a new earth at all. It's a very familiar looking earth. But with a lot of elements added to it that we wouldn't have right now. All nations gathered, as in Matthew 24 and 25. Messengers sent to places on the planet who have not yet heard of the Lord's return and his rule. offerings brought to Jerusalem, priests and Levites, all human beings made to worship the Lord. And unrepentant sinners' corpses will be visible to all as a reminder of the grace of God to the redeemed. Now, spiritualize all of that, ye who would twist the scriptures into your liking. Now, I know there's one item that needs some understanding. It talks about a new heaven and a new earth right here in Isaiah. That's also spoken of in John's Revelation, but it's following the millennial reign in Revelation. Here, and in chapter 65, they seem to precede the kingdom days. Now, the last two chapters of Revelation do indeed seem to be of a different caliber. No death, no temple. They're still nations. A new Jerusalem, but all still on an earth where the tabernacle of God has descended. It's a new earth. Now, has Isaiah blended these things? Or when he talks about new heavens and new earth, as the Lord, the Holy Spirit through him is speaking, is he only speaking of a renewed heaven and earth? One thing is certain. We don't abrogate one passage of Scripture to make way for another. That's how Islam's book works, not ours. Somehow, Isaiah and John saw the same vision of the future. John and so many of the prophecies make it plain that there is a middle kingdom between where we are now and where we are going. Did Isaiah see all of that, or did he put it all together? And let me read again that passage that we just read to show you something. He says, "As the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me." In other words, I am going to make a new heavens and a new earth, and it's always going to be. Just as that is true, so shall your descendants and your name remain. He looks into the future just a moment, and then he comes back to the millennial time. Why? Because it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, there won't be suns and moons and stars and all of that in the new heavens and the new earth, dictating our time, because those things are done away. But here we are with a moon again and a Sabbath and, well, things that we're just used to right here. Well, study it yourself. Study it yourself. Find out. I believe you'll find out that I'm speaking totally the truth to you. We're going to Jeremiah next time, talking about Jeremiah and the branch. Thank you for listening. I won't keep you any longer today, as I like to, telling you all about the different things we do, but look around the site. I think you will be blessed. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. This audio is being released on June the 29th, 2022. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.